So now let's move forward to the next thing in line, which would be, finally, functions. So first of all, how would you define a function? Well, there's several properties of that. Usually, functions are accessible via some name, with which you would usually call them. There's a way of specifying input for functions via formal parameters, and usually you also specify what a function gives back via result types, and then there's a sequence of statements that make up what the function actually really does. So this is what you would consider the definition of a function. What's the value of a function? Well, for example, when you look at C and look at the way that a function is seen in expressions, where it actually boils down to what is the value of such a function name, then in our case we would consider that to be just the starting address of the statement sequence that makes up that function. Yeah, and that is usually some index in the code memory, which boils down to an actual address or integer in that sense. Yeah. So with this underscore f, we consider to be a symbolic integer. So this is, for now, we just abbreviated that with an underscore f, but in principle, this would be an address. And this is what we can load into an ordinary register to handle it like an ordinary number. So, of course, there needs to be some assignment of function names to according addresses. That at some point you have to boil down to that. However, in a lot of languages, the size for some function is unknown before they are actually translated, so you don't really know where to locate them in memory. So what you use there is usually that, is that you bind the address for that function a little bit later. So they use so-called forward declarations for functions. And those addresses then need to be inserted later by some other instance that post-processes everything. So this is a thing that might have to happen in there. So, apart from that, what makes up a function is usually also some kind of variables, not only the parameters. And as soon as you start to talk about variables of functions, local variables in that sense, you usually are interested in the memory management for those variables. And this is a little bit special in the sense that for a function, if you look at runtime, you will see that a function might live several times. Yeah, so you might have a function call in the main program over here and a function call over here. As long as they happen in sequence, that's nice and dandy. But as soon as you, for example, look inside one of these functions in there, then you will realize that for this factorial function, for example, there is another recursive call in there. So when you see something like that, then you realize that during runtime, there's not only one active instance of a function like this factorial here, but there might be several of those, which means that you have started to execute a particular function, but then the middle stopped in order to execute another instance of the same one. And usually what happens there is that for each of these instances, you would like to have a separation of local variables from one instance to the other. So only then you can really guarantee that doing something in the called version or in the latest instance of the function doesn't overwrite something that you have had earlier on. So this is usually a thing that would be considered uncomfortable and thus not desirable. So you really want to keep them apart from each other in that sense. And in order to do so, you need have a few precautions. Yeah? So they usually want to be kept separate. So how could you do that? Well, of course, we have already seen a sneak preview into how local variables are handled. They usually are, in our expressions, are mapped to some index that is used for indexing registers. However, if you do that for several instances of functions, this is not gonna keep the names actually apart. So in order for this whole approach to still work in a kind of separation way, what you usually do is that you set up a region of memory for each function as soon as you, the timing is maybe not so so fixed, like calling time is maybe not always the time when you do the setting up of a region. However, when you definitely need that region is whenever you call another function from there, because then your so far used registers might be reused by the caller. So what you usually have to do is to save your register somewhere private. And this is usually realized by having a private region of memory for each instance of a function, with respect to an instance being each time that you are called, you get a new instance of a function. Yeah. And well, for sequential programs, as we see here in our example of C, you can do such a thing by allocating a personal region for each of these function instances on the stack. Yeah, so it's an own region on the stack that you do there, and the name for that is stack frames. Yeah. So what does a stack frame look like in practice? So here you see how you would organize typically such a structure on the stack. So in our view, the stack grows upwards. So it's just the convention here. And the stack pointer points to the last used stack cell. So in order to organize your stack frames, what you do is that you keep some organizational cells on the stack or within your stack frame that you need for carrying out the actual function call a little bit later. So I'm not going to focus too hard on them right now. So there's a few organizational cells on the stack, as well as an area here, for example, which is a local memory for the current function. And you can use that, for example, for saving your currently used registers to that area whenever you do a new call, and then continue to set up a new stack frame for your next inline function wherever the stack pointer points to. Yeah. So, but in order to turn back to your old left behind function as soon as your called function terminates, what you need is access to its original frame, and this is where this frame pointer comes into play. So this points to the last organizational cell of the last stack frame, and you can use that to recover the previously active stack frame. And then you see in there, there's another cell, for example, that keeps the old frame pointer of the predecessor of that frame, and which in turn also holds the old frame pointer of its predecessor, and so on. So there's a whole chain of linked frame pointer instances in the stack hidden. Yeah, and that way you would organize memory of your function.